friends, have you ever witnessed a world-class temper tantrum? A few years ago, I was doing some shopping in Walmart when I watched a little boy unleash the most awe-inspiring temper tantrum that I think I have ever seen. Let me tell you, man, this was like Chernobyl. All right, this was 3 Mile Island right there in the middle of aisle 3. This was full-on nuclear meltdown. It all started when this little boy asked his mom for a box of Pop-Tarts, which she declined, and he lost it. First, he threw himself down on the floor. Next, he started kicking his foot in his mom's direction. He started shouting at her in a fit full of rage. Well, this mother, of course, is in the middle of Walmart. She's terribly embarrassed. So she reaches out with one hand and she tries to grab a hold of him while still using her other hand to try to drive the cart. Well, unfortunately, she only had one of the boy's little arms taken care of. And so with his other arm, he's reaching out and he's grabbing everything he can off of the bottom shelf and he's dumping it onto the tile floor. And of course, all of this is taking place while he is emitting this blood-curdling squeal, this screech that sounded like a bobcat being skinned alive. As I returned to my car, I couldn't help, family, but think back to the few times in my own memory where I remember where I had misbehaved as a boy out in public, either in a store or in a restaurant or even in our local church. You know, as I thought about it that day, nothing that I did ever rose to that level of that little boy's meltdown, but nevertheless, I do remember being disciplined from time to time by my mom for bad public behavior. And it was my mom's custom not to discipline us kids there in public. But once we got home, that is when the Board of Education was put onto my seat of knowledge, if you get my drift. But in addition to that corporal punishment, family, my mom would always instruct us with this key phrase. We don't act like that. We don't act like that. And I always remember thinking to myself, We? I was the one who just got the spanking, so what do you mean, we? Well, over time, I learned what the we was all about. Since I was the son of Jerry and Jean Day, since I was part of the Day family, there was an expectation about how we would conduct ourselves out in public places. And so I learned throughout my childhood that being a Day was more than just looking like my mother and father. It also meant living like them in a respectful, God-honoring kind of way. Friends, we're going to take our Bibles again this morning, and we're coming to 1 John chapter 2. And here in this section of God's Word, John the Apostle is going to challenge every single Christian with a very pertinent reminder that because we belong to the family of God, then that reality will be affirmed by the holy behavior we live out in this everyday world. So friends, I hope you'll join me here in 1 John 2 in this message today that I've entitled, Living the Family Likeness. And friends, by the end of this message today, I want you to know that when you belong to God's family, your behavior proves it. Now, friends, over the past 5 sermons in this series, we've been learning that 1 John is a letter. It's an epistle that was penned by the Apostle John. John wrote 1 John in his older years. He was the last living apostle. He was the wise old man by then, and he was writing this powerful letter to Christians at the end of the final decades of the first century. And sadly, a number of Christians during that era were being seduced by false teachers, teachers who were promoting all kinds of secular philosophies and ungodly lifestyles out of the Greek world. These false teachers, they claimed to have next level spirituality. They claimed to have next level knowledge. But John has been proving throughout the book that actually their doctrines were quite unbiblical and their lifestyles were very immoral. Last Sunday when we were together, we looked at chapter 2, verses 18 to 27, and John essentially proves in that section that these false teachers were not even Christians. Well, moving on into this next section, John is going to remind the Christians that he's writing to that godly behavior is what proves that you belong in God's family. Think about it. Just like sons and daughters often demonstrate the same voice inflections or the same facial gestures or the same body language of their parents, well, the Bible teaches that true Christians will demonstrate holy lives. Holy lives that reflect their holy heavenly Father. Well, friends, let's look at this scripture together here, and then we're going to come back and dig into it in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we'll cross over into chapter 3 and go all the way down to verse 10. Here's what scripture says. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Christian friends, these verses that we just read are powerful. But they're not only powerful, they're also very practical. Practical verses on how you and I ought to be living daily as members who belong to God's family. Well, friends, what will it look like when you truly belong to God's family? As we look at this text, what are four appropriate behaviors that prove you belong? Well, here's the first one. Number one, if you're taking some notes today. Number one, when you belong to God's family, you persevere in fellowship with Christ. Number one, when you belong to God's family, you persevere in fellowship with Christ. And we see this there in verse 28 of our text. Now, family, last Sunday when we looked at verses 18 through 27, we were listening when John was giving this warning, such a strong warning. He was speaking to first century Christians. He was telling them to be careful about following after these false teachers. And so John said that the mindset of the true believer, both then and now, is to resist and stand firm. That's where we were last Sunday morning. Five times in those verses we looked at last Sunday, in 24 to 27, John kept using that word abide, abide. That has the idea of remaining, the idea of persevering, of enduring. Well, look at verse 28, friends, of our text. Verse 28, John takes that critical insight, and now he drives it home with this urgent command. You see it there? In light of all John has been unpacking, look what he says, "And now, little children, abide in him." So friends, the command goes out to everyone who claims to be a child of God. The Bible says, abide in Christ. Persevere with Christ. Don't be moved away from Christ. Don't be moved away from His gospel. Don't be moved away from His values. But friends, did you notice the reason John gave for persevering with Christ? The reason comes next. Look at it. So that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. Wow, what a powerful reason. The reason why you and I as Christians are supposed to persevere with Christ. One of the most important reasons we persevere with Jesus is because one day soon, you're going to see Jesus face to face. And the last thing that you want, Christian friend, is to be ashamed when you stand before Jesus. To be ashamed, to be embarrassed that your Christian life wasn't what it should have been. You know, those of you who are parents can probably tell some funny stories about how your little toddlers used to express shame when they got in trouble. You know, many of you know Heather and I have 6 children, and we have seen them demonstrate shame in all kinds of different ways. I remember one of my boys, when he was little, he used to close his eyes real tight when he got in trouble because he didn't want to have to look. He didn't want to have to see mom or dad when they were correcting him. Another one of my sons used to get in trouble, and he would dart off and he would run and he would hide under the bed. He would stay there until we would come and find him and deal with correction. I remember when Carter was just little, Carter would take his favorite blanket and he would just cover his whole head like Linus from the Peanuts cartoon. And sometimes even Hadley, when she would get in trouble, just when she was a toddler, she would run to her room, she'd shut the door, and she'd climb in bed and pull the covers up over her head. What do all those experiences have in common? It's all about shame. It's all about shame. Listen, you and I are no longer little children, but we understand shame, don't we? We understand what shame and embarrassment, how it works. You feel the burning sensation that starts to crawl up into your face. You feel your ears start to get red. You feel your face getting flushed. You know what shame feels like. You know what embarrassment feels like. And when you've done something wrong or you've said something wrong and hurt someone, the last thing you want to do is come face to face with that person. Well, believers, John's reminding us here how very important it is for Christians to persevere in our relationship with Jesus. Hang in there. Stay with Him. Endure. Don't walk away. Don't get drawn away. Stay with Jesus. Persevere. That way, on the day that you see Him, Christian, your experience will not be one of shame. It will not be one of red-faced embarrassment. No, that day that you see Jesus will be one of great joy. It's going to be a great day of delight and confidence. Christian friend, let me ask you here by way of application. Are you making sure that you are persevering with Jesus? Let me ask you, Christian, are you continually connecting with Jesus? Are you connecting with Him in regular prayer? Are you connecting with Jesus in regular Bible study? Is church attendance a real priority in your schedule? How about it, Christian? Are you passionate about learning truth? Are you passionate to learn what God wants you to learn and then to live out that truth? Friends, the Bible teaches that the way you are persevering with Jesus is proof that you belong to His family. And the Bible talks about this in more than one place. I gave you just one scripture to consider there. The Apostle Paul mentions this over in Colossians 1, verse 23. If you look in your notes, I've given it to you there. Colossians 1, 23. Paul says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel you heard. So friends, here in this text in 1 John, John is going to drive home to our hearts today this big idea. When you belong to God's family, your behavior proves it. Now, secondly, family, when you belong to God's family, number two, you practice everyday righteousness. Number two, when you belong to God's family, you practice everyday righteousness. And John unpacks this reality there in verse 29 of our text. Now, friends, all of you know from experience, from life experience, a battery. You know that a battery has a positive side and a negative side. Look at any battery, and one side of it has that little nub that sticks out. That's the plus side, right? The plus symbol's there. Then go to the opposite end, it's flat, and you'll see a little negative, a minus sign there. Well, friends, here in verse 29 and continuing on into chapter 3, John is going to start talking about the positives and the negative actions that go along with people who belong to God's family. Now, verse 29 starts with some positives. It has to do with the true Christian practicing everyday righteousness. Look at John says, if you know that he is righteous, who's the he? It's Jesus. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Now listen, friends, if you saw a picture of my father, Jerry Day, with his facial features and his freckles and his dark hair, and you saw his picture, and then you saw my picture put right next to it, there would be no denying that I was born of Jerry Day. Well, friends, listen. The Bible says righteousness, right living, is one of the chief marks that shows a person has been born of Jesus Christ. You remember back in John chapter 3, remember that famous conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus? Jesus talked with Nicodemus that night about being born again. Jesus was trying to explain salvation to Nicodemus, that you must be born again. Guess what? That same word, born, that Jesus used with Nicodemus, that's the same word that John uses here in verse 29. So, how do you spot a true Christian? Well, John says you can be sure that that person is born of Christ. You can tell they're a member of God's family because that person will be a practitioner of daily righteousness. In other words, right living is part of what they live daily. They're born of Christ. Therefore, they have the nature of Christ within them. They have that new nature. And so they begin to live out that righteous life in everyday life. It's a real righteousness. And it shows up in real life. And other people can see it. And they spot it. And they recognize it. And they know they can see when someone's living a righteous life. Family, back in the 1800s, there was a committee of pastors that was gathering together, and they were trying to plan an outreach event for their city. So they've got this big evangelistic committee that's meeting. And part of this committee's job was to pick someone who would come and be the speaker. Who should we pick to be the main speaker for our big evangelistic outreach for our city? Well, one of those local pastors suggested the name of Dwight L. Moody. How about we see if Mr. Moody is available for this event? And of course, that immediately, amongst all these pastors and these theological brains, they start discussing whether we should invite D.L. Moody or not. And there's this big discussion happening. And all of a sudden, one of the pastors spoke up and he said, Why D.L. Moody? Why Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? Well, there was silence for a minute. And then from the back of the room, this old gray-haired pastor spoke up and he said, no, Moody doesn't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly of D.L. Moody. Christian friend, as you think about that truth and how it intersects with your Christian life today, friend, can I ask you, does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on your life? Do your daily decisions, do your daily actions, do your choices, your decisions, do your conversations, do they reflect the righteousness of Christ? Friend, the Bible says if you have been born from above, if you belong to Jesus by grace through faith in Christ, if you have been born again, the Bible says real righteousness will start to show up in your everyday life. You will become a practitioner of righteousness. Look in your notes. I gave you Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Paul wrote to Timothy there, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." You see, believers, John's telling us here that practicing everyday righteousness, that's evidence that you belong to God's family. John is driving home, yet again, he's driving home this big idea. You and I need to engrave this on our hearts today. When you belong to God's family, your behavior proves it. You know, some of you are listening to this message today, and you know from firsthand experience that righteousness is not part of your everyday life. It's obvious to you, even as you're hearing God's word today, it's obvious to you that your behavior proves that you're not a Christian. Your behavior proves that you don't know Christ. Your behavior proves that you're not a part of God's family. And maybe God's been convicting you about that in recent weeks. Maybe God's been getting hold of your heart, perhaps even this morning. Well, friend, listen, if God is speaking to your heart today, if He is showing you, once again, the futility of your life, the futility of your sins, well, friend, listen, that is God's kindness to you. That is God being so gracious to you. God is being kind to you. Even at this moment, God is being kind to you by helping you understand that you can't save yourself by yourself. No, you need Christ. You need Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the only one who can forgive your sins. Jesus is the only one who can give you a new heart. Jesus is the only one who can bring you into God's family. So friend, if God is speaking to your heart today about your need of salvation, well, turn from your sins and turn to Christ. Turn away from your sins with a humble heart. And with the heart of faith, believe on Jesus. Invite Jesus into your life and submit to Him as your leader and your Lord. Look, if you have questions about that, you're not sure about that, you wonder what does it mean to be a Christian, if you have more questions, friend, don't hesitate to talk to me. Don't hesitate to talk to anyone who you have seen up on this platform today. Friend, nothing is more important to you today than for you to come to know Jesus Christ. Friend, we want you to meet Christ. We want you to become part of God's family. Well, friends, let's press on, okay? Let's press on. When you belong to God's family, John says a third thing will happen. When you belong to God's family, John says thirdly, number three, you purify your life from destructive sins. You purify your life from destructive sins. And family, these thoughts really start to show up as we study our way in the first six verses of chapter 3. Now, I told you, friends, just a minute ago that John was talking about the positive side of the battery. The positive side. Do you belong to Christ? You say yes? Okay, here's the positives. You'll be living a righteous life. But now, friends, John's going to shift gears, and as chapter 3 opens, now he's going to start talking about the negative side. Some of the bad things that the Christian rejects. Things that the Christian leaves behind. Things that the Christian turns away from. Now, before we look at those, I don't want us to miss out on this great statement that opens in verse 1. Now, many of you are using the English Standard Version, which has it translated correctly, but I really prefer the reading of the way the NIV gives it. Because the NIV gives verse 1 here much more as an exclamation of praise. There's exclamation points on the end of this. Here's how the NIV gives it. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Exclamation point. I like that. Listen, Christian friend, not only on Sundays, but every day. Not only today, but every day, you should never forget what an awesome gift you've been given. What a privilege is yours. You belong to the family of God. Don't ever let that become old for you. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have the forgiveness of your sins. You have heaven as your home. Jesus is your Lord. You belong in God's family. What incredible love the Father has lavished upon you. Don't ever miss that. And John says, there's a good reason why this world can't figure Christians out. There's a good reason why the secular world can't figure out these Christians. Why we're so different from them. Why we don't go along with their thinking. Why we don't go along with their values and their philosophies. It's because we're not in their family anymore. We're no longer in the secular family. No, we're now in the family of God. And John says there in the second part of verse 1, this world never did come to understand Christ. They could never deal with Christ. And Christian, it's going to be the same with us. You're not truly going to fit into this secular world. This secular world couldn't figure out Jesus. They couldn't deal with Jesus. It's going to be the same for us. But look at where John goes in verse 2. He says, we are God's children now, but what we will be has not yet appeared. In other words, every true Christian does have that new spiritual nature. We are alive in Christ. We are part of God's family now. But there's still a day coming when we are going to shine even more fully. There's a day coming where Christ is moving us toward, where we're going to be fully conformed to Christ. You know, friends, I want you to think about a diamond for a moment. And I'm not talking about the diamond that you see in the store that's already been cut and polished and set into a ring. Let's just think for a moment about a diamond that's in the rough. The diamond in its raw form. If you were out hunting and scouring and looking through rocks and you came across a diamond in its raw form, you wouldn't like it very much. It's not that impressive. You would probably conclude that it's ugly, it's worthless. In its raw form, it just looks like another cloudy, white, dirty rock. But guess what? Not for the geologist, not for the gemologist. No, they see that same rock and they instantly know its value. They know what it truly is. They know once that diamond is worked on for a while, once it's been cut, once it's been polished by the professionals, that's when it will shine brilliantly. And friends, listen, that's the way it is with every member of God's family. Right now, the Bible says you are a real member of God's family. And that happened because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, right now, that may not feel like a whole lot. And some days it really doesn't. You may not feel like much on Monday or Tuesday, but each day Jesus Christ is chiseling away at you. He's cutting away at you. He's shaping you. And one day soon, the Bible says, your final glorification will be complete. You will finally get to glory, and on that day, you will resemble Christ in all of His glory and all of His splendor. Now, think about the significance of that truth and apply it to your Christian life right now. John says in verses 3 to 6, if this is what's coming for you, Christian, if this is what's coming for you, then, John says, then right now, you should be purifying your life from destructive sins. In other words, if you really belong to God's family, then that truth ought to have a purifying effect on your behavior. Look at verses 4 to 6 there. John goes on to say that sinfulness is the opposite of purity. You know, you don't need a doctorate in theology to understand that. You don't have to be a seminary graduate to understand the truth there, this point. Sin isn't purity. Right? That's very simple. Sinfulness is the opposite of purity. In fact, did you see what John says there? Sin is lawlessness. Now, we're not just talking about breaking one law there. That's not what the word lawless means. Being lawless is not just driving 73 in a 55. No, that is breaking a law. Breaking a law, singular. Lawlessness is when you have a total rejection of the law's authority on your life. And so the Bible says sin is lawlessness. Here's the point. Here's the point. If you are truly a member of God's family, your everyday character is not going to be marked by lawlessness. If you really belong to Jesus, your everyday life is not going to be dirtied, sullied by continual destructive sins. No, your everyday lifestyle is going to be characterized by what is good, what is right, what is true, what is holy. Now, is the true Christian completely free of all sin? Well, we know that's not the case. We still got a lot of growing to do. We're not going to be sinless until we're finally with Jesus in glory. Here and now, yes, you and I, even as true believers, we're going to stumble into sin, make bad choices, the flesh gets the best of us, and we stumble into sin. But John's point here is that for the true Christian, sin doesn't dominate life anymore. No, the true Christian is now ruled by Christ. Christ is the one ruling, and He's always pushing His people towards purity, away from sinfulness and towards a pure life. Or if we could say it a simpler way, when you belong to God's family, your behavior proves it. So, Christian, how would you describe your practice of life this past week? Your life, Christian, look back these last 7 days. How would you describe your life? Was it the practice of sins, or was it the practice of purity? Was there purity in your speech? Not only with what you talked about, but how you spoke to others. How you spoke to your coworkers, to your boss, to your spouse, your children. Was there purity being practiced by you in your workplace this past week? Was there purity in your internet use? Was there purity on your phone? Was there purity in your entertainment choices, your music, your media, your movies? Christian friend, John says, you're a diamond. You're a diamond that belongs to Jesus, but you don't have to wait to get to heaven to start shining. You can start shining right now by pursuing a pure kind of life. Well, friends, so far, John's taught us that when you belong to God's family, you persevere. You persevere in fellowship with Christ. Number two, you practice everyday righteousness. Thirdly, you purify your life from destructive sins. But there's one more quality, one more vital quality that always shows up in those who truly belong to God's family. Number four, you protect yourself from false teachers. Number four, you protect yourself from false teachers. And John addresses these false teachers there, who they were, in verses 7 through 10. Family, notice, look at verse 7 with me. Notice how verse 7 opens with one of John's favorite addresses. This shows up over and over in 1 John, little children. John uses this address so often in this letter because he's the wise old man. He's the last living apostle. These were younger Christians that he cared very much for. He had such fatherly affection for them. And he wasn't going to just stand idly by while these Christians that he loved and cared about were being seduced and drawn away by false teaching. Now, let me explain what that teaching really got down to. What was the brass tacks of this false teaching being pushed by these Greek philosophers? Well, let me explain it to you. In the first century, there was this Greek philosophy that dominated ideas. The idea was this: that everything in the physical world is evil. That everything you can see and everything you can touch, everything about the material world, this Greek philosophy said the material world, the physical world, is all evil. And that includes this body of yours. That even this body is evil. It's intrinsically evil. But the Greek philosophy taught that the inside of the person, the inner stuff, the inner man, the spiritual stuff, well, that was more important. And that was what could be spiritual. And those things were kept separate. Well, you put those two ideas together, and what you get is a Greek philosophy that tells people they can live however they want on the outside, and it will never corrupt the inside. These false teachers were saying you can live any kind of physical life you want in the body, do whatever you want to do. You could be carnal, you could be hedonistic, given to all your pleasures and desires. You can be completely immoral, but don't worry, that's just the physical body. It won't really get inside of you to the internal spiritual stuff. Boy, I sure hope that's raising red flags for you, Christian. because that's error. That is wrong. That's heresy. That is completely contrary to God's word. That's completely contrary to the Christian gospel. And so John, in this letter, he's pushing back against that. And John says, "My dear children, don't be deceived by these fools. What a person practices on the outside proves who they really are on the inside." That lifestyle, if it's marked by sinfulness, that person is not of God. That's of the devil. Sinning is of the devil. Jesus came to destroy that. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The true Christian, John says, has the seed of salvation planted in them, even the Holy Spirit. The Spirit doesn't want the Christian to keep on sinning. No, the Spirit leads the Christian away from sinning and more towards obedience. So John tells these Christians, it's very clear, guys, who is and who isn't part of God's family. Oh yeah, these false teachers claim to be spiritual, claim to be in the know, claim to have a relationship with God. And John says, hold up. This isn't that hard to figure out. It's very clear who is and who isn't part of God's family. John says, whoever keeps on sinning, whoever keeps on practicing wickedness isn't a part of God's family. And so John says, you got to stop being deceived. Don't be deceived by these teachers because they're not from God. They're from the devil. And Christian friends, that gives you and I right now, right here, a great application point. You and I are living in today's 21st century world. We are surrounded today, Christian, by all kinds of religious teachers. There's all kinds of spiritualized religious stuff out there today. There's no end to it. The books and the websites and the ebooks, broadcasts and podcasts, websites, every time you turn on a computer, it's just there. It's beckoning for you to follow, to give it your attention. But listen, can I just remind you of something that your mom used to say? Just because a mouse is in the cookie jar doesn't make it a cookie. Just because something seems Christian, just because something has the label on it, quote unquote, Christian, doesn't make it right. Listen, study the New Testament. Study what Jesus taught. Study what the apostles wrote, and you will see this truth bubble up out of the Bible. Right beliefs always are connected with right behavior. Right beliefs, right behavior. That's affirmed by Jesus. It's affirmed by all the apostles. That is biblical Christianity. Sound doctrine and holy living always goes together. So Christian, if you bump into some kind of teaching out there that downplays or denigrates or degrades that truth, well, turn away. Protect yourself, Christian, because no matter how spiritual that sounds, what you're hearing is a satanic deception. Well, friends, today in this message, we've learned four important behaviors that proves a person truly belongs to the family of God. You know, I meet Christians sometimes who get discouraged about their Christian life. They get distraught with it. They seem to struggle with being a Christian, and they struggle with assurance. I meet some Christians, and sometimes they tell me, they say, Am I really born again? How can I be sure? Am I really a Christian? Do I really belong to God? Maybe some of you listening right now, maybe you've struggled with those same kinds of assurance questions. Well, listen, friend, you can come to a text like this one and you can compare. You can compare your everyday life to these biblical behaviors. And as you see things begin to align and as you see things match up, these things can restore and rebuild your assurance. Now, listen, we're not saved by behaviors. We're not saved by behaviors. We're saved by faith in Christ. But the Bible says those who have exercised faith in Christ will demonstrate these behaviors as proof that they're part of God's family. Friends, what a joy to know what we've studied today. These are the family marks. These are the family resemblances of those who belong to Jesus. So Christian friend, I want you to be reminded today. Be reminded that being a Christian isn't just about what you know. It's also about how you live. The Bible says when you belong to God's family, your behavior proves it.
Thanks for listening. This Preaching for a Change broadcast has been brought to you by the Grace Baptist Church of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. For more information, visit us online at mygracebaptist.church. If you enjoyed this broadcast, then share it with a friend on your favorite social media network. And be sure to join us next time for more enlightening and encouraging biblical exposition here on Preaching for a Change.